8:06 on FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings with Dalton Orwig and Kelly Finley. Sean Sullivan will be back later this week. And it's a Tuesday, so that means we check in with Quinn Hillier from QuinnHillier.com, WashingtonExaminer.com. And, well, Quinn, you write for multiple organizations, don't you?
Well, I do, but mostly now for the Washington Examiner, where most of my stuff appears.
And, of course, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention we had Black Friday, Cyber Monday, and you've got a book that would be a great Christmas gift, not just a book, but a trilogy of books, the Mad Jones Heretic Trilogy, and people can find that online, right?
Online at Amazon.com, and one of these days, y'all's readers are going to actually click on and order them. Now's a good time. Order them and give them for Christmas.
Some good stocking stuffers there, right?
Exactly.
Need a pretty big stocking
books
for all three of them.
What make for a great Valentine's Day gift?
Valentine's Day gift. Is that why you wrote the book, Quinn, for Valentine's Day?
I was hoping that Kelly would be my Valentine, but you know that.
Sir, that train has gone off the tracks.
I know. I'm joking.
I'm Carlos's Valentine.
How was your Thanksgiving, Quinn?
It was great. I hope you all had a good one.
Mm-hmm. And I know you got your New Orleans Saints. They played on Thursday, so a rare... Oh, I guess they played last year on Thanksgiving, too, didn't they? But got that revenge game win over Atlanta, so I bet you're pretty happy about that.
Who dat?
Oh, Mike, I have a who dat story to tell you another time. Just so you know.
They're going to beat them Saints.
Oh, man. I was surrounded by your who dat posse on a plane. The soul man, he was on the plane.
And, lucky you.
And then, and then Gumbo's wife.
Oh, Gumbo's wife. Wow. Did you get Soul Man's autograph? Or?
I have something better. He did an announcement on the plane for us. We'll talk about that later. But yeah. I was just going to say, you must be feeling good, Quinn, because once again, you're pulling no punches when it comes to how you really, really feel about what's happening.
That's what Quinn's known for, not pulling the punches and some good writing. And this week, you're writing about several things, as always, but the biggest movement in state politics this week in the news, John Merrill, Secretary of State, drops out from the Senate race. And you recently wrote an article about that. A wild Alabama Senate race just lost an intriguing contestant. And in your lead there, you say the Senate race in Alabama just got a bit less interesting, but also a bit safer for Republican chances of victory. Let's take these one at a time. Why did the race get less interesting losing John Merrill?
Well, because John Merrill is a rising star. He's a very engaging retail politician. He loves getting out and talking to people. He's done a very good job as Secretary of State. He's managed his office efficiently. He's pushed through some reforms. He's implemented voter ID, but in a fair way. I think he could have added to the race, especially because as the comparative long shot, because even before Jeff Sessions got in, there were three people with basically universal name ID in the state, and he didn't have it. So he was a comparative long shot, but still, you know, somebody that was a reasonable contestant. His only way to break through would have been to come up with something new or different, some new idea, some new issue, or an issue looked at in a different way that really added to the debate. And with him in the race, and with him being a good politician, I expected, once we got past Christmas, once we got into the new year, I expected him to add some real interesting thoughts and ideas to the debate and to offer an alternative. Whether it was the best alternative or not, I don't know. But without him in the race, there's a lot less chance that anybody's going to sort of swing for the fences that way. Everybody's playing it conventionally, and I just think it's a shame from that standpoint not having a voice that would be sort of emboldened to swing for the fences, because that's the only way he could break through.
Well, I know you said you expected him to swing for the fences. Why wait until late? Why wouldn't he have come out with something earlier?
Well, because really most people aren't paying attention during the Christmas season. And you want to do it when you're going to get people's attention. I would have started it earlier. But most people don't really pay attention to the election until about 6 weeks out. And so I was expecting him to, I don't know whether whether he was going to, but I was expecting him to try something new and different and interesting. Now that Jeff Sessions got in the race, it makes it almost impossible for him to break through. I think it made sense for him to look at the numbers and say, even if I swing for the fences, it's not going to work. So I understand why he got out. I just think it makes the race less interesting, less likely to have something new and different.
And Quinn, I noticed because you put out a tweet yesterday and you tagged a couple of us, and there's someone who responded with saying, well, basically that they were going with Secretary of State John Merrill, so now what should she do? What are her options? Who would mirror, you know, the type of campaign that he was running? Who would mirror that campaign and should get her vote, in your opinion?
Well, first of all, Merrill so far had not done anything new or different. The type of campaign he was running so far was just conventional standard stuff and, you know, close the border, drain the swamp, you know, all the same stuff that everybody else is mouthing. I'm Trumpier than the rest of them.
Mm-hmm.
Who she should vote for is just whoever she thinks, you know, is the best able to implement that. There are four people in the race that have basically universal statewide name ID. And then there are a couple of others that are trying to, you know, that are much less known. There's plenty to choose from. It's just that you don't have the real likelihood that somebody's going to really try something that is needed. I think Alabama needs somebody to find a way to bring issues to the fore that are important to Alabama, important to the nation, that's not just the same old boilerplate.
If Merrill's this rising star in politics, you know, this isn't a last-ditch effort for him before he heads home for the rest of his career. Why, I don't know if now, in this day and age, would be the time to kind of step out of the box if he's maybe wait a little bit. Do you think that's what his plan is, to wait until maybe the president is out of office? Maybe politics gets back to, I don't know, where you're able to kind of step out from the party line and have a chance to win. Is that what he's going for?
I think he's still got quite a future. He's young. I expect him to run for higher office again. I think he has raised his profile a little bit. It's not often that you get a former, you know, what, four-term U.S. Senator and former U.S. Attorney General enter a race that you want to run in that already has a football coach in it and a Roy Moore and a Bradley Byrne to boot. So he'll probably have an easier time the next time he runs for higher office. We have not seen the last of John Merrill.
And looking ahead, let's say Jeff Sessions becomes once again known as Senator Sessions here in Alabama. What do you think the type of relationship will look like between he and President Trump if that happens? Because we know how it ended when he was his attorney general.
I think Trump will do whatever is in Trump's best short-term interest, and if Sessions is supporting him the way that Sessions says he will be supporting him, I think that you know, no matter what Trump says in private, I think he'll be perfectly happy to have Sessions' support, and so, you know, I expect, at least in public, there to be quite a good relationship. I mean, look, how many people blasted Trump during the campaign? Lindsey Graham, Rick Perry, on and on and on, and then they either end up as his lapdogs or in his cabinet. Trump is very changeable on that front, and Sessions does support his agenda.
You also wrote that Merrill dropping out makes it, in your words, a bit safer for Republican chances of victory. Explain that for us.
Okay, well, I'm not making a judgment either way on Roy Moore, but it is just a, you know, sort of a political reality that if Roy Moore gets the Republican nomination, he is, because of his controversies, he is less likely to oust incumbent Doug Jones than the other candidates. So, therefore, Republicans nationally, looking at the race, say the last thing they want is Roy Moore to be the nominee again. He's already proved he can lose to Doug Jones. I'm not saying he would lose, but that is the general impression. Well, the simple math is this. Roy Moore has a floor below which he will not go. He's going to get 18% of the voters, so at least 18% regardless.
Mm-hmm.
The more non-Roy Moore candidates there are splitting the other 80 to 82% of the vote, the greater the chance that Roy Moore's 18 to 20% is going to make it into a runoff. And once you're in a runoff for the Republican nomination, anything can happen.
Right.
You can win the nomination. So by taking a semi-major candidate out, Merrill's withdrawal makes it mathematically harder for Roy Moore to get into the runoff in the first place, and therefore makes it at least incrementally easier for Republicans to be sure that they have somebody that can beat Doug Jones. Again, this is not a judgment on Roy Moore, it's just saying sort of the political realities, what the polls say, et cetera, et cetera.
All right, talking to Quinn Hillier. Check him out, quinnhillier.com. Get Mad Jones Heretic on Amazon, the trilogy. And coming back, who'd you put on blast, Quinn?
What?
Yeah, you put somebody else on blast this week. Something about Chuck Todd got into it with someone?
Oh, Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana. A column is out last night that I wrote. I was pretty brutal on him.
Yeah, I want to talk about that when we get back. This is Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. It's 8:23, and this is FM Talk 106.5. I'm Dalton Orwig. Kelly Finley here as well, and joining Quinn Hillier again in just a second. Kelly, we've been talking about the Iron Bowl quite a bit these last couple of days, and you just read a headline that made Quinn and I both laugh.
Yeah, well, you both
chuckled.
What's going on? Okay, so this is from AL.com Sports, and here's the tweet. Auburn Dean tweets students get extra second for exams in honor of Iron Bowl, and it goes viral.
That's trolling in real life, right? An extra second. All right. So,
epic trolling.
Yeah, Auburn fans very happy with the win, and rightfully so. And, well, big win for them on Saturday. So they all get an extra second. Hopefully that pays off for someone. Quinn, you know, we talk about your book trilogy all the time, Mad Jones Heretic, but also you got a newsletter with all your most recent writings that goes out. I know I get it in my inbox. How can people sign up for the newsletter?
Easy. Go to quinnhillier.com, and there is a yellow subscribe button in the upper right. It doesn't cost you a penny, and it goes out about once a week.
All right. One of those articles that's been in the newsletter, you recently wrote it, and I missed this exchange somehow, but you're writing about Republican Senator John Kennedy from Louisiana, and apparently he got into it with Chuck Todd on Meet the Press. What happened there?
Well, last week he'd gotten in trouble by repeating just absolute nonsense about Ukraine having supposedly having hacked into the Democratic National Committee, you know, all this Ukrainian server stuff, which has been proven to be false. And so he had said that, and then everybody came down on him because it wasn't true. And so he started to Meet the Press by saying, you know, I was wrong about that. And Chuck Todd, the host, is like, okay, that's fine. And then he said, but Ukraine did interfere with the election just like Russia did anyway. And so he started trying to make it sound like the Ukrainian interference, which was sort of random, there was some of it, was equivalent to the massive systematic interference that the Russians did, and Chuck Todd would have none of it. And Chuck Todd basically said, you're parroting Putin's propaganda. And so they were off, and they were almost yelling at each other. And what got me is that this is now the ninth time in the last several months that John Kennedy has, you know, sort of played the role of total Trumpy, and not just that, but he always goes on TV and he acts folksy and he has this massive Southern accent. And I'm like, wait a minute, that's not John Kennedy. I've known John Kennedy since 1990, I was in an Institute of Politics class with him at Loyola University in New Orleans. The guy's accent at the time was only mild. He was more patrician than folksy. This is all an act. And I'm sick, whether you agree with his point or not, the act is really disgusting.
But you call him what he's doing an act. Who is he acting for? Who is he performing for? Whose approval would he ultimately be looking for, and who benefits the most?
Well, first of all, so many people in the Senate are stuffed shirts that he figures probably the way to stand out is to exaggerate his Southern accent and to come up with all these folksy aphorisms and supposedly funny sayings, and that way he'll get noticed and he'll become a media darling just because he's different. Because he has, I think, he still has some sort of weird national ambitions even beyond Louisiana. He's never going to realize them, but he has them. But he's also playing for the home folks, because when he first ran, he's run for office so many times in Louisiana, it's ridiculous. But when he first ran, the knock on him was that he was Oxford educated. He was, you know, sort of too patrician, and so he wants to appeal to the rural voters in Louisiana. So he starts talking like Foghorn Leghorn. It's phony.
But that's not rare, right? I mean, most politicians do play up where they come from. I mean, that's part of the gig. You got to get votes. You got to kind of play it up
votes,
a little bit.
But I mean, he's gone way beyond. And not only that, but as I point out in my column, this guy's been all over the map ideologically. When I first knew him, he was a centrist. Then he was a cabinet minister for a conservative governor. Then he ran for U.S. Senate in 2004 as the leftmost, the most liberal candidate in the whole race as a liberal Democrat. 4 years later, he was again running for the U.S. Senate, this time as the most conservative Republican. Now, you know, then he ran in 2016 in a 23-candidate race as the fourth most conservative out of about 7 Republicans and 15 Democrats. And now he's acting like he's a Southern fried Trumpist. The guy is as authentic, I wrote, as a cow in a camel suit.
So in case you missed it, and there's a tweet, of course you can unroll a tweet and see, kind of catch up with the conversation, but I'm on the Meet the Press Twitter page, and it says, in case you missed it, Senator John Kennedy talks about backtracking statements that Ukraine was responsible for hacking the DNC computer in 2016. And then he goes on to say, and this is at Sen John Kennedy, so if you want to follow him and read along, he says, quote, "I went back and looked at the transcript. I realized I was wrong, so I said I was wrong." And then one day later, in case you missed it, he goes on to Chuck Todd, who you've referenced as the show host, says, quote, "I mean, my goodness, wait a minute, Senator Kennedy. You have done exactly what the Russian operation is trying to get American politicians to do. Are you at all concerned that you've been duped?" And so they go ahead and they post this exchange between the two, and you can, you know, use your own judgment as to how you feel that this exchange went and who really benefits, because at the end of the day, I think the American people are just exhausted with trying to figure out who's telling the truth, who's fibbing, who is just outright lying. We're tired.
Well, and we've only got a minute left. I can't figure out why would a Republican senator, why would Kennedy go on Chuck Todd anyway? I mean, talk about a gas bag. Chuck Todd, I mean, he goes off on everybody, every Republican that he has on there, he goes after. Why would he be on that show, Quinn? How does it help him?
It helps him because now he's a national hero among conservatives for having stood up to Chuck Todd.
That makes sense. That does make sense. All right.
Bingo.
We're about to head to the news, so tell everybody where they can get your books, Mad Jones Heretic, and where they can read your writing online.
Mad Jones, all three Mad Jones books, Amazon.com. My stuff, you can go to QuinnHillier.com, or almost everything is at Quinn Hillier and Washington Examiner.
All right. Thanks, Quinn.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
8:30 FM Talk 106.5. Coming back, more Mobile Mornings on the way with Dalton Orwig and Kelly Finley. This is Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5, 8:37 on this Giving Tuesday. Right now it's time to head to McConnell Automotive and talk to Louis Arata. Hey, Louis.
Giving Tuesday. I want to wish everybody hopefully a Merry Christmas coming around the corner now.
It's about that time. And what's better to find under the tree than a nice new or pre-owned vehicle from McConnell Automotive? Tell us what's special out there on the lot.
Well, we've got all the new rebates coming in today, which we'll check. We'll tell everybody tomorrow what they are. Also, I want to thank everybody for a great November. Got some great trades. Cars, like I said, we got about 100 used cars on the lot now. We've got them from 5,000 all the way up to 50,000. Certified GM gives you an extra 12 on the warranty. You can check all those out online at McConnellAutomotive.com or give us a call at 251-476-4141. Don't forget, Gene or I will buy your car. If you want to get rid of it for Christmas, get you some Christmas cash, just give us a buzz and give us the VIN and the miles.
It's that easy. And one thing that we don't talk about often, but we should talk about more, a great service center there at McConnell Automotive.
Oh, we got a great service center. Charles, Prim, Thomas, they're just absolutely wonderful. Also, don't forget Gary Turner in the body shop and all his guys. Man, they're just a working machine back there. We appreciate all them doing all what they do.
All right. Appreciate it, Louis.
Thank you.
That's Louis Arata. Go see him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65. 8:39 on FM Talk 106.5 as we roll on in this Mobile Mornings Tuesday. And I wanted to get through a couple news, national news, pretty big national news this week before we get into some discussion here. And feel free, call in or text 251-343-0106. But we're back into the impeachment inquiry after the politicians up there in D.C. took the week off for Thanksgiving, and House Republicans yesterday issued a report regarding the Democrats' impeachment case against the president, and they intend to argue now and have been arguing that President Trump should not be impeached because there's no evidence that his actions were done specifically to benefit the 2020 election. They claim in this 123-page report that the president's hesitation to meet with Ukraine's new president, Volodymyr Zelensky, and provide military aid to the country was entirely prudent. They dispute that President Trump engaged in a quid pro quo with Ukraine when he asked the country's president to investigate Democrats. And they also argue that Democrats are pursuing impeachment as a, quote, tool for settling political scores and relitigating election results with which they disagreed. So the Judiciary Committee will likely get their hands on this impeachment inquiry starting tomorrow. I know they're releasing the House Intelligence Committee's report today, so we'll see where that goes throughout the rest of the week. And a pretty important case right now in front of the Supreme Court. They've argued the first gun rights case before the Supreme Court nearly a decade yesterday, and basically it looks like it boiled down to whether there's still a case to debate at all. Now, this law from New York City that's in question, which had banned the transportation of licensed, locked, and unloaded handguns outside of city limits, was voluntarily rescinded last year, and the state later passed a new law mandating that no such restrictions ever be reimposed. Yesterday, the Supreme Court justices appeared narrowly divided, as we've come to expect at this point. They were narrowly divided on whether there's still a reason to get involved at the request of gun rights groups or dismiss the appeal altogether. The NRA and other pro-gun organizations insist that the argument's still very much alive. They want the Supreme Court to expand the Second Amendment protections to explicitly include transport of lawfully possessed arms to a second home or gun range. So a couple things happening nationally, and just because we had holidays, that doesn't mean that the news stopped. Right.
That's very true. And, you know, sometimes you need your news nuggets. You're not quite sure where to go. It's so important because I know there are many people who lean one way or the other, but there are those who want that neutral news, mm-hmm. which may tell you things you don't want to hear, but it keeps you informed. And I always recommend people checking out the Associated Press. That's where I get my news nuggets. And, you know, they talk about not only what has happened in late breaking news, but also upcoming events and stories that you're going to be talking about for today. And Dalton, as you mentioned, first up is the House report will outline evidence for Trump impeachment. That's their headline. They say the findings will lay the foundation for the House Judiciary Committee to assess potential articles of impeachment, presenting a history-making test of political judgment. Number two, the president, of course, is overseas in France at the NATO summit. Mm-hmm. The president has criticized Democrats in London, calling the impeachment push by his rivals, quote, unpatriotic, and he says the French president has insulted the NATO alliance. And these are news nuggets we're following along with on social media as well as in real time. I'm scooting on down because they do the top 10 headlines. I didn't know this. Again, my cool card has been taken away from me since before I had children, but the Gotham Awards.
Gotham Awards.
Did you know that those were even, that was a thing?
Like Batman on the stage or?
No idea, but they say Noah Baumbach's Marriage Story takes four awards, including Best Feature at the annual New York Awards season kickoff, and the Seahawks take the NFC West lead.
I know about that.
I know you do. I give you those headlines because they don't just talk about, you know, the serious stuff, things that kind of sometimes just drain your brain. They also, it's well-rounded with sports and entertainment and news, so check that out indeed.
Well, this is going to be, I mean, we've only got 1 month left in the year, and then we've got, you know, 2020 election will be at the front of everyone's minds for most of next year, and I can't imagine how wild this is going to get with the impeachment inquiry, everything going on internationally with the trade war with China. Who knows where this NATO summit will lead to. You have Macron saying that NATO is slowly kind of dying before our eyes. Those are my words, not his. I think he used brain dead or something like that, and he and Trump are getting into it.
Already.
But on top of that, you've got the Democrats campaigning for president, too, and a new name in the mix, and that's uber-rich Mike Bloomberg, who jumped into the race here recently. And there's actually a new poll out, and I always find these interesting, and honestly, and I'm not saying this to be partisan, with the news that we've seen lately from Joe Biden, I mean, the creepy Joe Biden meme is coming back. You know, there was the video of him nibbling on his wife's finger, I guess, while she was motioning to the crowd, and that hit online. I mean, went viral pretty much immediately. But there's a new Democratic poll out, and I'm wondering if or which of these candidates would be able to, you know, stand up to Trump on a debate stage. Who would actually have a chance at winning? Because we saw what Trump did once he got up there on the debate stage during the before his first
2016.
Term.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's where he shines when he's up there on the stage, because just his attack mode, rarely can politicians keep up with him on that.
But I think if your strategy is just to take out the current president, you're missing the boat, because your strategy, of course, as an opponent, you want to take out whomever your opponent is in a healthy way, but you also want to know how can you better serve the people. See, we're so focused on getting the last word in, you know, getting a jab here, a left hook there, but how about the American people? You're supposed to be in your various elected positions to do what you're supposed to do at the local and national, you know, and obviously state level. And so why don't we get back to who it is you work for? And that's the American people. And really understand what your role consists of. It's not to get into the best soundbite, you know, fist fight. It's about remembering why you were picked to do that job.
Yeah. It'd be great if politicians remembered that. I think we're too far down the road now. Maybe eventually we'll get back to, I don't know, maybe not slinging as many words. But right now, according to this new Hill poll, looks like Biden, according to Democrats, that's who they prefer in this latest poll, and he's at 31% in the latest one. You got Bernie Sanders at 15%, Elizabeth Warren now at 10%. She dropped 5 points since the last one they had. Pete Buttigieg, he's been moving up rapidly in Iowa, but now he moved up 2% in this national Democrat poll. He's up to 9%, and Bloomberg, his first time in the poll here, he's already up to 6%. So he's not polling with the stars there of the early debate cycle, but Bloomberg already getting his name out there. And I know he's spending a lot more money than anyone else, and it's his own money, apparently.
Right. Well, and there are a number of people who are frustrated who are running because they're saying, you know, he's using that money to, you know, gain an edge. It's kind of what it's about, too. You know, it's got to be balanced, but they're frustrated with the fact that he may be tipping the scales in such a way. It's kind of like when Secretary of State John Merrill said, you know, listed on his Facebook page why he was getting out of the race and saying that he didn't want to help basically give more support unknowingly to our Democratic senator, Senator Doug Jones. Well, if you are shifting the balance and confusing people and having so many names in there, and that's what some of the Democrats are saying about Bloomberg, and then Senator Kamala Harris's campaign is suffering, I mean,
big time.
Big time. And one of her key people left her camp, resigned, issued a scathing letter, which was posted online, and is now working for Bloomberg's camp.
Wow.
Right.
Yeah, she said that they weren't treating the people right. They're
right.
Running in the campaign.
Lack of leadership and just people being told one thing, you know, they're moving their entire family and then finding out that they no longer have a job. And it's just not shedding a good light on how that campaign is being run.
So. Oof. It's a long campaign season. There's going to be a lot of this for the next year. And we'll be on the road a lot the rest of the week. Just want to remind you, tomorrow, Midday Mobile live at noon from the fantail of the USS Alabama. Come see us at Battleship Memorial Park. We'll be on from 12 to 1 and then Scuttlebutt Network afterwards with Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Love every time I get to see those guys. And then Thursday night, it's our charity bartending night at Fairhope Brewing Company. They do this Bartenders of Christmas every year. This is the sixth year that they've done this. We'll be up there bartending from 5 until 7 Thursday night, and tips and donations for our charity bartending night going to Wilmer Hall Children's Home. And then Friday, Midday Mobile back on the road live from noon to 2 from your CBD store of West Mobile. And I've been told that store owner Joe Brown there, he's going to be giving away a CBD SunMed relief bundle valued at over $240 to one person that comes out to the remote. And they've got a huge selection there. So come see us, one of those three events, and we'll be happy to give you some FM Talk 106.5 goodies. I know we have the huggers and we have some ultra rare floating keychains that it's tough
cool.
to get your hands on them.
I've seen them from a distance.
I don't even have one.
Me either.
I've touched them to move them into place.
Sean locks those up. He doesn't want
He keeps them hidden, but we're going to unleash them later this week.
You, my pretty.
Come join us at one of those locations, and we'll be happy to see you. All right, coming back, we'll wrap up Mobile Mornings right here on FM Talk 106.5. Kane, 854, FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. Dalton Orwig and Kelly Finley with you. Sean Sullivan will be back later this week.
Yes.
Today.
We're giving him a few days off in honor of Giving Tuesday.
Yeah.
In case you missed the memo.
He's well-deserved.
Absolutely. Someone just asked on our Facebook page, what happened to Sean? I promise he's coming back.
Yeah.
He is, but he needs to rejuvenate and get away and do what he loves to do.
Yeah.
And get some rest, hopefully.
No, that's probably not happening with Sean. But definitely recharging. And so today I will be hosting Midday Mobile starting at noon. And I got some good guests lined up to talk to. Talking with Todd Stacy from AlAlabamaDailyNews.com. He's a recurring guest we have on here, so I want to get his take on John Merrill leaving the Senate race, also what's going on nationally with the impeachment inquiry and with the president over at the NATO summit. Also going to talk to Dale Leash from Lanyap with more goings on with the Hank Aaron Stadium competing proposals. I know yesterday members of the Mobile City Council heard those competing proposals and trying to figure out what we're going to do next with that, for now, I guess, relatively empty stadium. It's not exactly empty because you can go over there right now and see the Christmas night in lights. I think that's what it's called. And but we've got a couple proposals there for what to do with the stadium now that the Mobile Bay Bears are gone. So I'm going to talk to him, and also a special guest. I've been trying to get this guy on for a long time, and now that I'm hosting,
That's what's going on.
It's this guy from Clark County that I've known for a long time, Jeff Moats, and he wrote a book, about 3 or 4 years ago, called Once Upon an Apocalypse. It's a fictional book. And
is it scary?
Yeah, it could be scary. I think it's I still need to read.
If the music changes, I'm out.
But he since then, that book took off, and he's written a trilogy at least of them. He might have written 4 books now. I think he's written 3. If you go on Amazon, it's got great reviews and a really interesting take on what would happen, if the worst happened. And
so it was could the, be scary.
It's probably scary. But I want to talk to Jeff. You know, he's not an author per se. He's become an author, but he had a job before that. So I kind of want to know how he got there, and we'll talk about end of the world scenarios, prepping, all kinds of those things. I'm looking forward to that, and hopefully getting one more guest on for midday today.
I love that. Great job, my friend. And I, you know, before the world ends, you know, per the book, we do want to remind you about Giving Tuesday, and we shared the stat, and I wanted to do it again and again. I will post this, but I mentioned that with Giving Tuesday, if you're not quite sure which organization to give to, or maybe, let's be real, your checking account, your savings account, even your credit cards are kind of hurting, you can give your time. It's free of charge. And I looked it up, and so according to Independent Sector, the new value of your volunteer time is $25.43 per hour. Okay? $25.43 per hour, and that's up 3% from last year. So if you multiply that by 3 or 4 hours of giving, look how much you've poured into a positive space, into the community, into a young person, into an organization. And it counts. It really counts. Your time is so invaluable.
So that even counts sitting out ringing the bell for the Salvation Army?
Oh, my goodness, yes.
I think if it's like the temperature it is this morning, 33 right. degrees, right. I think what you had there was the average. So if they're ringing the bell and it's as cold as it was this morning, I'd say that's worth like maybe $50 an hour. But if it's 65 and sunny, that's maybe worth $10 an hour.
Let's be real. People who like to give, they give out of the generosity of their heart. They're not looking at it as, well, you know, 2.5 hours means, I mean, they really give. But the purpose of today is to get you giving and to give all year long. We appreciate you listening and sharing this message. And Mike McKinley, he's listening with One Meal. You know him from, he's the gentleman who, you know, we get the Blue Marlin.
Oh, yeah.
And they feed so many families.
That's right.
Love what he does in the community. He's always giving.
Check not just out. On Giving Tuesday.
No. Make it a thing.
Very cool. All right. Midday Mobile in 3 hours. We've got the Mike Gallagher Show up next, and we'll be back. More Mobile Mornings tomorrow morning at 6.